Good morning. For Bill Lynch, I'm Mike Pulsifer, and this is the CBS World News Roundup. There's been a dramatic decline in the U.S. trade deficit. The Commerce Department released the March figures this morning, and they show a 29% plunge from $13.8 billion in February to $9.7 billion in March. Fred Bergston, the director of the Washington-based Institute for International Economics, says the March trade figures are very good news.
The March number is a dramatic improvement in the U.S. trade balance. The number is particularly impressive because the domestic economy has been strong. Imports have continued to rise, albeit by a low amount. And so it's the export increase, rising by over 20% now for more than a year, which is indicating this enormous improvement in U.S. competitiveness in the world market.
This is Dan Revive in London. European markets reacted immediately to the good news from Washington, and it was taken as good news for all Western economies because the U.S. dollar should gain strength from improved export figures, and there's a worldwide consensus that the dollar's value has been too low. That's certainly the feeling among American tourists here.
But it's hard to get used to it every day. Like, everything is literally double what it is home.
Help is on the way. Just minutes after the trade figures were announced in Washington, the dollar's value was sharply higher in Europe. And the London Stock Exchange index up 9 points this morning, powered ahead to a gain of 24 points. The index at 1,800 on the belief that recent imbalances in the Western economies perhaps now are being set right. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
The U.S. stock market also is up nearly 10 points, in fact, in early trading at 2017. That's where the Dow is right now. Volume already 23,065,000 shares. It now looks as though the proposed missile treaty with the Soviets is headed for smooth sailing through the Senate. President Reagan hopes the pact will be ratified before the U.S.-Soviet summit begins later this month in Moscow. More on the ratification story from Phil Jones on Capitol Hill.
All problems have been cleared. The leaders of the key Senate committees, Armed Services, Intelligence, and Foreign Relations, have given their blessing, and Majority Leader Robert Byrd has scheduled the INF treaty debate to begin sometime today.
I'm satisfied and want to proceed, and I want the treaty, if it's a good treaty, and I believe it is.
Language on crucial issues, including verification and limiting future as yet undeveloped weapons, have all been clarified with the Soviet Union. Secretary of State Shultz argued yesterday that there's only one question left, and Shultz had his own answer to that question.
Is it in the security interests of the United States? This treaty is in our security interests.
Some conservative Republicans disagree with Shultz, and they could prolong the final Senate vote. However, unless there is some last-minute snafu, the Senate will recommend ratification of this treaty, which is the first to call for destruction of a whole class of nuclear missiles. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Attorney General Edwin Meese's dismissal of his chief spokesman is generating renewed criticism. Meese says he fired Terry Eastland because of a need for new leadership in the Justice Department. The Washington Times, a longtime staunch supporter of Meese, says he's the one who ought to go. The paper is calling on Meese to resign, and Meese's top speechwriter has quit because of Eastland's dismissal. 3 minutes past the hour. It's primary day in Oregon. Democrats Jesse Jackson and Michael Dukakis are fighting for 45 delegates, while Republican George Bush now officially has clear sailing. His last opponent, Pat Robertson, formally pulled out of the race yesterday. The latest CBS News New York Times poll has some bad news for Bush. It shows him trailing Dukakis, the Democratic frontrunner, by 10 percentage points.
This is Jacqueline Adams in Fresno, California. 5.5 months before the November election, George Bush insists he isn't panicked by his poor showing in the national polls. Nonetheless, he spent the last 2 days in the Northwest trying to shore up his numbers, showing his commitment to a major concern in the region, the environment. But even in the midst of campaigning yesterday, Bush was dogged by reports that his national security advisor had links to the 1985 Contra arms resupply operation, allegedly financed with drug money. The vice president lashed out at the man he believes is responsible for the leak.
I think it's slanderous, and it's all been looked into, and I will challenge Senator Kerry, Democrat of Massachusetts, to show some evidence and stop leaking out information that is not fair or true.
The Bush forces blame that kind of publicity for the vice president's poor showing against Michael Dukakis. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Fresno, California.
The Honduran ambassador to Panama is being held without bail in Miami, accused of having nearly 26 pounds of cocaine in his luggage when he arrived there yesterday. The Honduran foreign ministry has suspended the official's diplomatic immunity. He's charged with possession of cocaine with intent to distribute. South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu delivered his commencement address at Emory University in Atlanta. Tutu repeated his call for more pressure on South Africa to end apartheid there. His remarks prompted this critical commentary on South African state radio.
Archbishop Tutu's campaign for the isolation of South Africa extends over many years. But now a new urgency, perhaps even a crisis, surrounds his actions. The many questions that have been raised in the media and in the minds of ordinary South Africans cannot be ignored by the hierarchy of the Church of the Province.
Tutu is urging the United States to launch an all-out economic boycott against South Africa. Pope John Paul is nearing the end of a 12-day trip to Latin America. Mark Phillips reports on a journey that's turned into one of the pontiff's most controversial trips.
Pope John Paul II wasn't on the ground in Asuncion more than half an hour before he began what amounted to a lecture on civil rights delivered to Paraguayan strongman General Alfredo Stroessner. Stroessner has told the church to keep out of state affairs, but in the presidential palace last night, the Pope told Stroessner the church would not be confined to its temples, that it should and would speak out on human rights issues. The Stroessner regime has harbored fugitive Nazis, deposed dictators, and international drug runners. It's clamped down fiercely on any serious opposition. Opponents of the government are jailed or simply disappear. John Paul told General Stroessner that all elements of society have the right to participate in decisions. The question being asked here now, though, is what will happen after John Paul leaves. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Asuncion.
The time on the World News Roundup, 8 past the hour. A 34-year-old man has been charged with 27 counts of murder in connection with Saturday night's bus crash in Carrollton, Kentucky. Authorities charged Larry Mahoney was drunk when he drove his pickup truck the wrong way on a highway, smashing head-on into a church bus returning from an outing near Cincinnati. Some of the survivors fear, for them, the worst is yet to come.
I'm still numb by the shock, and I'm worried a lot about what's going to happen when the shock wears off, because I know my friends are dead, but I don't believe it. You know, I know they're dead, but I keep thinking that I want to see one of them come to school or see them in the hallway.
Bus accident survivor Alan Tennyson. It was a year ago today that Secretary of State George Shultz had this to say about the Navy frigate USS Stark.
The ship, at last report, was dead in the water, and the entire crew was being taken off. There have been serious casualties.
In fact, 37 sailors were dead. The ship had been hit by a rocket in what's been termed an accidental attack by an Iraqi jet. The incident led to an expanded U.S. role in the Gulf. The Stark victims will be remembered at a midday ceremony today at Arlington National Cemetery. 10 past the hour.